How to overcome crisis. Three things to remember about Christ. That's the topic of this week's edition of Praying Pals. Take God's word for it. Quote, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." That was Romans 8:18. And again, you can take God's word for it. Earth is not easy. Whenever a loved one dies or someone gets hurt, I tend to say, I just can't get used to this being on earth thing. I know that sounds kind of dramatic. I know, but it's true. And you know what? That's actually good and true for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. This earth is not our home. On earth, everyone, yes, everyone, experiences crises of various kinds, ranging from death, trauma, job loss, cancer, family dysfunction. The list goes on. We must remember that Christ understands suffering, that Christ suffered on the cross beyond our comprehension, and he conquered the eternal effects of sin and death. We are victorious in Christ. When in crisis, here are three things to remember about Christ. I'm going to list three things, but beforehand, I'm just going to put it this way. The faster we trade our perspective for the perspective of Christ, the better. Every crisis, believe it or not, every crisis presents an opportunity. It may sound cliche, I know that, but it's true. It's an opportunity to know Christ more deeply, his love, comfort, hope. It's an opportunity to grow in Christ more strongly. And it's an opportunity to glorify Christ for eternity, which actually exceeds anything this planet offers. Now, that again, that may sound good, but I know that in crisis, I don't feel like it's an opportunity. So you're going to have to just bear with me here. But it is an opportunity for growth. For growth in Christ, for growth in our experience of his faithfulness and love. I really wish that I could just look you in the eye and say, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. In fact, it's going to be more than okay, because Jesus is going to make everything right in the end. This earth is not our home. Let's cover that. When we view crisis as an opportunity to know Christ more deeply, then we have truly mastered at least part of the battle. When we get to the end of the ropes, we reach the place where we finally take Jesus' outstretched hand. That is a very important place to arrive, because oftentimes we can be so busy in our daily lives that we miss what's important. And, you know, so often we ignore God and we reject God and his ways, and we, when we're in crisis, we are suddenly confronted with the fact that we cannot do this thing called life but on our own. We need God. We need Jesus. So it rescues us from a futile, shallow life when we view crisis as an opportunity to experience Christ. Nothing overwhelms God. He has a plan. He has a plan to work all things together for our good. And that applies to all of us believers. Okay, so we've covered the viewing a crisis as an opportunity to know Christ more deeply. And now we're going to cover the second point, that crisis makes us appreciate that our citizenship is in heaven, and we grow instead of slow down in our faith. Philippians 3:20 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." 3, crisis allows us to share Christ so that more people can hear and receive God's gift of salvation, so that they will go to heaven instead of hell. In fact, it allows us to be ambassadors for Christ. It's profound. I can't explain it. Only God can. It's absolutely profound. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Today, what challenge do you face, or challenges? What challenges do you face? Let's view each challenge. Let's be mature and view it as an opportunity to experience God's grace and his overall characteristics in new, deeper ways. I have had this happen where something has shocked me, and for instance, car accidents. I have experienced car accidents that were pretty traumatic, and yet the Lord made himself available to me, and he has revealed his character to me in personal ways, daily sustaining me. He is faithful, loving, true, all-powerful, holy, kind, comforting, gracious. He's good, he's merciful, he's unchanging, and the list goes on. Growing in him, when we grow in him while we know him, that exceeds any rusting trophy that this world offers. You know, I've been blessed to meet a lot and befriend a lot of elderly people, and sometimes I've seen their trophies, and frankly, some of them look good, but some of them, you know, just the nature of it, they rust and they get dusty and people forget about them, and in fact, they may be kind of stored somewhere and they don't really care about them anymore. What kind of trophies are you pursuing that really aren't worth it? That's quite a thought, too. We need to remember that only Jesus is worth it all. He is so worthy. He is so loving. He loves you. Crisis allows us to stop ignoring and rejecting Christ and actually know him in the deepest way. So with that said, I want to invite you to really experience what it means in John 3:17. Everybody hears John 3:16, but I'm going to read John 3:17. "God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Today, I urge you, accept his hand and open your heart to his. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are good, even though we see a lot of bad things on earth that we don't understand. We thank you that you understand our suffering, that you love us, that you sent Jesus to die and suffer in our place on the cross, suffer beyond our comprehension, because you, Jesus, you bore all the sins of everyone, all the bad things of earth. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for being willing to do that, even though you did nothing wrong. You did nothing wrong, and yet you died for us. Help us to stop ignoring you and start accepting you and loving you and obeying you, which is something that we do out of love and with joy, because you are who you are. Lord Jesus, we welcome you in our hearts. Please cleanse us from our sins. We look to you, Lord Jesus. We repent. We turn from relying on ourselves and letting all kinds of things take over instead of you. Please be our Savior and Lord and revive us, awaken us, use us for your glory. Draw us all closely to yourself. And we pray for all our loved ones and all those who are hurting right now, who are in crisis. Please make your presence known to them in special ways. We thank you that you have promised to never leave us nor forsake us as we are following and believing you as your born-again children, we thank you that you never drop the ball. You never drop us. You love us, and we love you too. We pray for your best for every prayer request submitted to Praying Pals. We praise you and love you, Jesus. Oh, how we love you. How we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer tip of the week. Extend a kindness to someone who is in crisis and point them to Christ. Share his love through action, because that's what Jesus does. And, you know, we need to follow his example. He took action to show his love. Take action to show your love for someone who's in crisis. And just do it. Okay? Sound good? All right. Even just offering to pray with someone on the phone. Hey, it's that simple. Let's do that, okay? And if you have prayer requests, feel free to send them 24/7 at prayingpals.org. Again, that's prayingpals.org. God bless you, my friends. And remember that Jesus still loves you. He still loves you.